Hot flush, hot flash debate. Wherever you live, whatever you call them, I've been having them lately, and as many of you know, they are no fun. One thing that is helping me and other women in perimenopause and menopause who are experiencing hot flushes and hot flashes, and cold sweats even, is Become Clothing. Their anti-flush technology creates fabric that is so light and soft, it not only cools the skin, but wicks away moisture and helps regulate body heat. I've been wearing one of their anti-flush nighties to bed and snoozing cool. I'm also a huge fan of their tank tops, which I believe people in the UK call vests. Become has also just launched super absorbent leak-proof panties to address yet another symptom of peri and menopausal women, which is irregular bleeding or urinary incontinence. So make sure to check those out too. I'd like to thank Become for sponsoring this podcast. Check them out on becomeclothing.com and use code HOTFLASHINC to get a 20% discount. Hi there. Today I'm going to Phoenix, Arizona to speak with Lilac Mazer Power and Steph Swergall, co-founders of a new cannabis wellness collection for perimenopause and menopause symptoms called Revelry. I think it's interesting that I interviewed them about this while I was in the UAE, where cannabis is most definitely not legal, and it's going live while I'm in Canada for Christmas. Hopefully, fingers crossed, you never know with travel these days. But in Canada, there's a dispensary on every corner, and I can never believe how times have changed. What we do know from this scant amount of research is that people are using cannabis for perimenopause and menopause symptoms. One 2020 study done in the VA in Northern California showed a quarter of women used it this way. This year, a study at the University of Alberta showed one in three women are using it for this purpose, and about three quarters of those reported getting relief when they did. Now, both of those studies were presented to the annual general meetings of the North American Menopause Society, but there just isn't a lot of official guidance out there to reflect reality and help people in real time. And that's unnerving. So that's why I'm turning to the experts now when we need them. Lilac is an industry leader. She is the only female-owned licensee in the state of Arizona. She's been in this business for a long time, and she is well-versed to discuss this. Both she and Steph have great insight and intel, and I just don't think we're getting that many other places. I want you to remember this isn't medical advice. And of course, depending on where you live, cannabis might not even be legal. What you do is always up to you, but there's no harm in talking about it, right?
Hello. How are you?
Hi. Great. How are you?
This is really good. This has been a long time coming.
I know. Well, we had a lot of technical issues to work out, lighting, etc.
Scheduling three women to sit down together is a task by itself.
Yes. And I think it's funny that I'm in the UAE, where they have made tremendous legal reforms lately. But I don't think the legal for reforms will ever go far enough to legalize cannabis, unfortunately. So I'll have to come back to North America to sample, to meet you and sample your wares. But I'm just so interested in what you're doing over there. Because, okay, so you're based in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. In Phoenix.
In Phoenix. And Revelry, the most beautiful name. You are the only other, we talked about this when we did a little pre-call, but there's only basically one other company that's focusing on the menopause space. Is that, you're one of the,
there are two amazing women out of California that have, vaginal suppositories, geared toward, perimenopausal and menopausal women.
Yeah.
The only cannabis capsule line, and it might help. Do you think it would help if we described to your listeners what this is?
Yes.
Like what cannabis in a capsule is? Lilac, would you like to take that one?
Yeah.
Sure. So, and I think that we are the only one that offers kind of a menopause, it's not a treatment, but relief for menopause with cannabis throughout the day. So we have a morning capsule that has equal parts of different cannabinoids, to help alleviate some of the symptoms, but not get you high, because we are all functioning adults at this point. And then we have a night capsules, which really helps women to go to sleep and stay asleep. And that is a mix of two cannabinoids with THC and CBD, 10 milligram each, but it's all about helping you go to sleep. So very relaxing and stay asleep, but not overwhelming high, which I think a lot of women is that what they're trying to find. And of course our CBD lubricant, which has a mix of peppermint, which is fantastic. It's surprising at the beginning. Like it's like, it's usually like warm feeling, and this has a little cooling effect, and it's kind of like,
it's really good. Interesting. It's got vanilla and cinnamon in it.
Yeah. But it helps with the blood flow, because that is what peppermint does. It's wonderful.
How do you provide that without getting high?
It has 2.5 milligrams of THC, which is such microdose that you really don't feel anything. When women take it and we ask them to describe it, it just says it's really just helps you, what we call tolerate people better. So you don't really, you feel a little more relaxed, but you're not feeling any high or any other effects.
Yeah. One woman who tested it for us said it felt like somebody put rose colored glasses on her. It just made the day a little bit easier. And that's the thing. I mean, everyone has a different, so for your listeners considering using cannabis, everyone has a different tolerance for it. And that tolerance changes throughout the course of the month. So if you're perimenopausal and you're still experiencing somewhat of a cycle, it is a bit of start low and go slow. You do want to try it carefully. And so what we wanted to do was allow women to take that cannabis journey in a way that was really safe. And so by starting with a microdosed product, that not only helps to kind of ease day-to-day anxiety, but also includes cannabinoids that offer anti-inflammatory properties. We felt like we were treating the mind and the body in a daily supplement that was safe for any woman to use, regardless of her tolerance, right? Super low. And what we found is like 14 to 28 days in, is when women started to feel like the maximum effects of the product.
Okay.
So it takes some getting used to. The night, day one, will put you to sleep. So, and that was the thing when we started researching, like what this needed to be, it all comes down to sleep.
I think that's in general what we're looking for, right? And a lot of people, what they look for in cannabis, it's a cycle of, you can't sleep as a person. And a lot of women have that because your mind keeps racing of what else you need to do throughout the day or the month or whatever that is, their logistic list, or because you're menopausal or perimenopausal and your body just think that it should wake up at 2 a.m. But that starts that cycle of I'm tired, then I get emotional, then I get, more angry, all those things that we all go through. And the minute you get that good night's sleep, everything changes. So that was definitely, and we had to change the formula when we did it, because what we thought would be good enough was not for women going through menopause. So you have to really understand that it is different and women know what they need. So listen to them.
Can they stay asleep on it? I know for a lot of people, staying asleep is an issue.
We have been having really good results. Are they sleeping for 10 hours? No, not really. For women that are used to sleeping 3 to 4 hours and now they're sleeping 6 to 8, that is a great achievement. And sleep well, right? Not like hear everything around them and wake up from any movement in the house.
Does it alter your sleep at all? Like, is there any sort of hangover effect or anything from it?
We recommend that you take it an hour or two before bedtime with water. And like most folks know, like perimenopause, menopause, you don't want to be consuming lots of alcohol and caffeine. You're taking the capsule with water an hour or two before bed. You're going to get a great night's sleep without feeling groggy. It's not something you want to take when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's meant to be, something you take before bed to help you relax and then fall asleep stay asleep. And by the time they get to cannabis, unfortunately, just because the stigma around it and the legalities of how it's treated in the United States, by the time they get to cannabis, it's because they're desperate. The Costco size bottle of whatever supplement just was not doing it for them. And, you know, they heard that a friend of a friend or their father-in-law once said this, or, you know, like some random story about cannabis. They come to it and it can be really intimidating. And, you know, Lilac is the last female majority owned licensee in the state of Arizona. She has a dispensary, and the team here at her dispensary is so incredible because they understand people come in with these kinds of questions. They're new to it, and they need help with some of the very basic components of what the plant is. But once they have that information, a product like ours is meant to make it easy.
Right.
Right. It's dosed so that anybody can take it. We did test the product on some women who were daily users already for whatever reason. For them, you know, the night was like good, but I like more. I like to smoke flower before bed, or I like to vape, or, but for the women who were not as frequent users, or who had a lighter tolerance, didn't metabolize it the same way, it was the perfect dose. And so the common denominator for us was for any woman to walk in to pick up the Revelry Day from the shelf or the Revelry Night and feel cared for and safe.
Cause it's intimidating. I remember when California first became legal, we went to a wedding there and a friend and I went in, and it's like intimidating to walk into that store and try and figure out what to get. And you're talking to a guy who looks like he's been smoking weed every day since, you know, and I think a lot of women my age, we did smoke when we were teenagers, we tried it. And a lot of people my age had bad experiences.
Bad experience.
So, because I think whenever I post about this, I lose followers and I can sense the trepidation, and I feel like it's like everyone had that time when they were way too high when they were 17 and it was horrible and they're scared.
And I think when we ask people why they don't come to the dispensary, and I ask our friends and we ask the public, a lot of them say, well, I tried it and it didn't work, or I got too high, I had a bad experience. And two is, I don't want to feel stupid. So people don't come and don't ask questions, don't come to the dispensary because they feel intimidated by walking in and seeing that many options. But I think what we've tried to explain, and it's the same when a 60-year-old dude walks in and we try to say, hey, this is not the same weed that you smoked back in the days. They go slow, understand what we're talking about, but I'm sure they have bad experience because they don't listen. So it's different, right? The average THC today in flower is 22%. It used to be 8 if you reverse 25 years ago. Okay. So very different. Medical grade cannabis is different. What we try to do as a brand is really take that guess out of the equation. Because when you walk into a dispensary, even ours, and we really try to talk to you about what you're trying to achieve and, you know, what's your lifestyle, what are you comfortable trying, and really offer 3 things instead of 30. But what we try to do with this is we have listened to so many women that walked into our store, and now we created a product that is 1 capsule during the day, 1 capsule during the night, that should help you alleviate a lot of those symptoms. So we take away the guessing, the options, and the intimidation that people feel with cannabis.
So during those first scary months of COVID, I managed to get in better shape than I'd been in a long, long time. I had biceps and definition on my abs. I was in lockdown all by myself, looking good. One of the things that helped me do that was the ritual. The ritual is an online workout created by my friend Amber Stratton using body weight, repetitive movement, plyometrics, breath work, and it's all set to really great music. It's a wonderful workout for women in perimenopause who are struggling with their energy too, because you can do the cardio tracks high or low impact, and it's all very gentle on the body, and it tones and strengthens you. I promise. You just might have a little cry at the end if you're lucky. let it all out. I'd like to thank Ritual for sponsoring this podcast. You can find out more about this experience at jointheritual.co and use promo code HOTFLASH to get 1 month free.
The legal structure of cannabis access in the United States is very complicated right now. So for...
Yeah,
for
what's going on? I can't figure out what's going on there.
Is that rhetorical or do you actually want an answer to that?
No, in a broad way, it's different state by state, basically. Is that what's going on?
Yep.
No, not
every state has the right to... create their own law with cannabis if it's medical or adult use. The government does not recognize any medical benefits to cannabis. So until they do, it's still a scheduled.
I just saw this. Drug. They cost it the same as hard drugs still. Yes. Even though it's legalized.
Yep.
Which is why people are still in prison for selling it, I guess, until they change that.
Right. So the good thing about adult use states, for example, Arizona voted last year and in January it started. So people with nonviolence offense of marijuana will be expunged and they're being released. There is a good movement there, but it will take a few years until that can change.
I just think it's so interesting that you're in a business situation where the federal government is saying it's illegal and the state, various states are saying it's not illegal. I just can't even wrap my head around it.
It's a mess. One of the wonderful things we can talk about is being a woman running a business.
Yeah.
Lilac is running this business at the dispensary. We cannot take credit cards.
Can you take debit? Is that the same thing?
Barely.
So the banks all work on they're federally insured. So they have this issue of working with an industry that is illegal, and things have been better and we have banking, but we pretty much pay to have a bank account that we can deposit our money and write checks from. That is the extent of banking relationship. You want to get a loan for your business, you have to try to find private capital because banks won't do it, which, you know, I think is part of why in 2021, we are the only female-owned majority-owned dispensary in Arizona, because it's hard to raise capital and it's very capital-intensive industry, but you have to find people to lend you money, not banks, which of course creates more and more men being able to raise that capital, not women. It's a whole thing. Yeah, a whole thing.
Yeah. So I bring all that up because your experience at a dispensary is going to be very different depending upon where you are, right? And even within the state of Arizona, the experience you're going to have at Lilac's Giving Tree dispensary is very different than what you might have at a dispensary across town. And so just like it's important for women to advocate for themselves when they go to the doctor, when they're talking to their pharmacist, when they're talking to any sort of health provider, any sort of service to them, you should advocate for yourself. You should feel like, okay, this is my health. I'm going to walk into this dispensary. I'm going to ask the questions. I'm going to advocate for myself. And if at any point you feel uncomfortable, you find a dispensary that works for you, that's going to be patient, that's going to answer those questions and not make you feel stupid. We have to have a voice in everything we do, including treating ourselves with this incredible plant.
I feel like it's a little bit like if you went into a sex shop. Because, you know, when you go into a sex shop and they're just very, I don't know if you know, but I have been when I go home and they're so, you just think, oh my God, everyone in here is just so normal and great. And they're making me feel great. It should feel like that. If you go into a dispensary and you don't feel like that, you should go find another dispensary.
Absolutely.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, one of the things that we did when we designed the store is it's all, the whole front is windows. It's a busy corner, so it's not some alley. And you can drive by it and look inside. So it's not that scary door of what's behind it feeling, which women have talked about that they kind of fear.
Okay. There was actually a psychologist who presented at the North American Menopause Society on cannabis last year. And he's one of the only experts in the field. I can't remember his name, but that was what he was saying. low and slow. That's what doctors, that was what he was telling doctors that they should be telling their patients. Cause you've got patients asking their doctors, and doctors don't know, but they don't know what to say.
And now you combine the fact that they don't know about cannabis and they don't know about menopause.
Yeah, right.
Whoa. Like eye contact with you.
I thought it was interesting. Last year they presented that study. It was out of the VA, I think, of Northern California, that said 27% of women that they studied were using cannabis. And then in that press release that they wrote about it, the medical director of North American Menopause Society cautioned that it could be dangerous and to be careful. There was another study presented this year. I think it was done at the University of Calgary, and it found one out of three women had tried, and three quarters of them had had relief for their symptoms. And there was no caution at all in when they talked about it. So I thought maybe in a year that that was reflective of something. Do you feel like in the past year, there's been a little bit more acceptance of it? Or
I think every year I call cannabis years dog years, because every year we do that kind of jump with the way that, you know, the acceptance of our communities, the people that would work for us, the people that will try it, everything changes so rapidly. There's no going back. It's exciting.
With the way it is though, with the laws, so you can't expand beyond the state. Is that the way it is?
It's complicated. So the only way for us to take our product into California, for example, which is what we're talking about, would be to find a producer, licensed producer in California. So it needs to be a state licensed producer in California that will produce our product and distribute it, because we don't have a license and we're not allowed to cross state lines.
Okay. Wow. I want to go back because you mentioned inflammation, which is, I think, the root of a lot of problems in perimenopause. So mood, sleep, two huge ones. What are some of the other things that aches and pains, like what other things can it help women with? Are you seeing women use it for?
So anecdotally, we've gotten feedback about the fact that, and of course, you know, studies are limited because it's federally criminalized. So it's been difficult to get good research out of the United States. Now, countries like Israel are doing incredible work, but we've got anecdotal feedback about it helping with hot flashes. Okay. I'm not making a claim, disclosure, not making a claim, but hot flashes. And then we decided to include CBG and CBN because of the research that has been done, those have been cannabinoids that have found to be anti-inflammatory. And just like your research has shown and you've shared in your writing, that is an issue for women. And there are all sorts of theories and preliminary studies about what that means for your physical health, your mental health. And so we purposely chose those to go along with the CBD, which everyone has heard of at this point, and the THC. So the THC is your psychoactive ingredient, right? That's the one that gives you that cerebral effect. In this case, a dose of 2.5 milligrams is going to just kind of ease anxiety. And then the CBD is the one that addresses the aches and pains. And they literally, I mean, I think I saw it in one of your Hot Flash Ink newsletters, but they interact with the receptors in your brain. So you have your own endocannabinoid system. You make your own cannabinoids. It just so happens that this amazing plant does that too. And so when you ingest it in any form, it interacts with two particular receptors in your brain, one that blocks pain, and then the other one that actually kind of enhances, you know, cerebral qualities, creativity, depending upon what kind of THC you're ingesting. I mean, those are kind of the basics of breaking down that Revelry Day product.
When you said CBG and CBN, okay. So can you explain those two?
Yes. So, you know, the plant actually has about over 100 cannabinoids.
Oh my gosh.
They're finding new ones every day, and every plant, even the way you grow it or extract it, will have different structure of those cannabinoids, and that's what we call the entourage effect. We
entourage?
Entourage.
Oh, like the show.
Yeah, that's what it is. But it's what those things together create is different with each, you know, component. Okay. So when we combined the four cannabinoids, we realized that this is what has been helping women with the symptoms. So women do say that, you know, sometimes you can feel that hot flash coming over you, and instead of like really taking over, you just feel it goes away. And that is an amazing thing for any, when you know that, here it goes, but then it doesn't actually take over. It's amazing to be able to, you know, work and not get irritated, to be able to be more relaxed is really what we're trying to figure out. This is, it's not cure for menopause, right? We're all going to go through it. Let's just make it a little easier.
Yeah. I think the fact that you have those receptors in your body and then there's a plant that you can take, like that just seems like, well, magical to me. That just seems, you know, that's amazing. Now, there is, and I'm not in North America, but there is, I'm sensing a backlash to cannabis, right? Like I'm seeing headlines coming through my newsletters of people who are having episodes. There's a psychologist on Instagram, Doc Amen, do you know him? He's a popular psychologist on Instagram, and he talks a lot about not drinking alcohol, not drinking coffee. So I don't like it, because there's no way I'm not going to drink coffee. I just like anyone. But, and he talks about cannabis, and he says it affects your brain. It can damage your brain. Don't use it. And so when people say this to you, what do you say? Like, is there, from where you're coming from, a risk to your brain? And we are at a time, like, I think what a lot of women worry about is we're at a time when cognitively we're vulnerable. Is this something that I need to be concerned about?
So I mean, first of all, it's important to say we're not physicians or researchers, and research is coming out. There's few things that are important to mention. Cannabis have been used for thousands of years. People have been using it for different medical conditions for thousands of years. It is important to remember that in today's world, it is actually the safest it's going to be when you use it, because it is all tested. Mm-hmm. So you know what you're getting. So you know there's no, as long as you buy from a legal source that is actually monitored by the state or your country, it is tested that there's no pesticides and there's no mold and there's no any harmful things in your product. And that the dose, which we talked about the bad experience, how many of us got a brownie back in college and one person didn't feel anything and one person got all the weed in it and did not have a good night? That is what we are eliminating with having a regulated industry. We also say 100% do not use cannabis before you're 21. So the brain is still developing until you're 21. And just like I don't want my kids to use cannabis or alcohol, coffee until their brain is fully developed, it's the same with cannabis. So don't use it until you're an adult. But after that, there's as long as you're using regulated cannabis, you should be just fine.
Yeah, just be aware of what you're putting in your body. I mean, I'll be honest, like in the past when I was written prescriptions for certain things, I don't know that I would go home and research those prescriptions before I took them. I would walk home, you know, walk in from the doctor's office and go, oh, I got this prescription, I'm going to start taking it, and never give it a second thought. I think we all have to be, especially during perimenopause and menopause, more mindful of what we're putting in our bodies, no matter where it's coming from. And to Lilac's point, you know, here in Arizona, it's heavily regulated. There's a batch number to every product you buy so that you can actually literally look at where it was grown, when it was harvested, how it was tested. As far as it damaging the brain, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen research to indicate that it damages the brain. So, I would have to ask the good doctor to provide that. And frankly, I mean, if you go into a liquor store and buy 20 bottles of Everclear and drink that in one night, you're not going to be doing so well.
Oh my gosh. Let's talk about alcohol.
I think there've been studies that have shown that you can't overdose on THC, even if you tried.
You know, what's interesting, because I talked to, like, we're at that age and our women, our friends are women our age, right? And you're talking about 45 to 55 and so many women talk about how it is so hard to juggle life, and they come home and they're tired, and they, you open that bottle of wine to be able to, you know, just relax or tolerate your kids or work after the kids go to sleep, whatever it is, it becomes part of life. And then you say, hey, why don't you try this capsule that has, you know, is not going to damage your liver. It's has 3 calories. There's no sugar in it, and see if that helps you. And the, I say, like, all the moms in my neighborhood are now doing those capsules because it is so much better for you. And you don't feel groggy next morning and you're sharp and you can still function, but it really helps you do things better. So it's, we were trained that this is, you know, you try cannabis and the next thing you're running around the streets with a needle in your arm.
I remember it's a gateway drug too.
Yeah. And they now call it the exit drug, right? It actually makes you use less things. So many women used Ambien and Benadryl on every single night and then drink wine with it. And that is totally normal. But, you know, taking one capsule to replace all that and sleep better and do better for your body.
Isn't that crazy? I often, and I'm not judging, but I often, when I look in Facebook groups and all the things that I've read when I was putting Hot Flash together, like, the continuous alcohol consumption at this age, I know from my N of one, when I drink and when I don't drink, it's a disaster. Our livers are overburdened. We can't handle it. We can't handle the sugar. I can't handle the alcohol. I can't. So if someone's drinking it every night, it just doesn't mix with perimenopause. So you make such a good point that you know, if there's no sugar, it's not involving your liver. That's such an amazing fact about it. Our livers need to concentrate on what they're doing. Really, I feel like anything we take has to do the minimum to our body, because our body is going through something. That's basically what I think. Also, a lot of stuff, when you were describing the testing and the standards, all that part, I mean, you don't get that in a lot of supplements. That's for sure.
And that's very true.
You know,
that's very true. And I think people don't even know that the vitamin world is not as monitored as others. It's that you can hope that this is what you get and it's the right dose and it's what it says it is, but no one's really overseeing it. Like, you know, you can tell exactly what's in every capsule that you get.
It must be frustrating, and you can answer this or not answer it, but it must be frustrating when you're dealing with plants. And then there's pharmaceuticals. And I think probably the pharmaceutical industry isn't crazy about this plant-based medicine.
You have to believe that all of these major pharmaceutical companies have action plans in place for the minute this becomes, like, federally decriminalized or rescheduled, that they all have plans. Absolutely. For how to adopt. And I mean, it's just interesting. So I'm very new to the industry. Lilac is a veteran. Like, she was talking about cannabis years being dog years.
Yeah.
So she's been in it for, you know, 70 years. but just coming in and kind of learning about the industry, it's incredible. Like, what other industries and other companies are already making moves to establish themselves for when this happens.
Yeah.
In the next 5 to 7 years, right? I mean, right. Distribution companies that distribute alcohol today are aligning themselves with cannabis companies so that they can be prepared to distribute cannabis. Pharmaceutical companies are definitely prepared to step in. And, you know, the more the freaking merrier. I mean, this is a plant that's been around for tens of thousands of years. We've been using it for thousands of years in all sorts of ways. And that's great. If that's how it gets into the hands safely, mm-hmm. of people who need it and want it, that's great.
What about everyone's asking now about the impact of the, whatever it is you find, you know, it used to be that avocados are the greatest thing. And then we find out how murderous the avocado industry is on the land. So sustainability and biodiversity, can you farm cannabis without harming, creating harm? Like, what's the reverb sort of from this gaining popularity?
Well, I think like any agriculture, it's going to change. There's a lot of indoor grows in the world, right? On a global level. And a lot of big companies that believe it's the only way to do it, but it is a plant and it needs to be grown outside in a greenhouse or completely outdoors. And like anything in agriculture, we're going to find where it is grown easier. So you don't have to pump nutrients or add lights or whatever it is that we do that is not good for the environment. And those are going to be the places that will concentrate on growing cannabis. And then we're going to import it from those states or those countries. And that's like any other agriculture. I believe it's going to go there.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you think it could go? Where do you see if it went, if the U.S. finally, you know, decriminalizes that at a federal level, what would you like to see?
I mean, we see it happening already. I mean, of course, if you look at where it's started, right? There's Northern California area where cannabis has been part of their cultures for decades. There is Hawaii. There's the Himalayas where, and it's different strain grows different in different places. But then of course you see Mexico starting to grow it and, you know, Colombia, I'm sure, you know, Jamaica and Canada grows a lot of greenhouses. I think that's the way to do it. And those larger indoor facilities will have trouble later on environmentally, or because it's, you can grow it easier in Colombia outdoor, and it will be hard to compete with pricing. Yeah.
I have seen that weed growing in the Himalayas. Sorry, that was amazing. I was like, what? Yeah.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah, I mean, the whole industry is being challenged to be more environmentally sustainable. And of course, you know, being kind of held within the constraints of our state, we have to make accommodations for being able to grow it in our environment. So at this point, you know, things that we're looking to do are, you know, reevaluate packaging, figuring out how to source packaging in a more environmentally sustainable way. Revelry's packages, we chose glass because it's recyclable. We have, you know, the boxes that they come in, obviously recyclable. We're looking at how to incorporate, you know, post-consumer waste recycled. But yeah, I mean, I think as an industry, we're really challenged with that right now. And I think federal regulation of it will allow us to really explore how to maximize the benefits of the plant without taxing the environment. We have a large company here in Arizona that's looking to be carbon neutral. So, I mean, we're trying.
What about, okay, so your CBD oil, the Intimacy oil was in Forbes, am I right? I think, but how do you feel about the receptivity to the message of the connection between cannabis and menopause? Like Lilac, do people want to hear you talk about this? Like other than me, like, is it something, are you getting interest, you know?
Yes. The first time in 10 years, that this is a new brand that at least me, I'm getting messages and LinkedIn, women from all over the world that wants to hear more and wants to try it and how can they get it? And their friends told them that, or they heard me speak at whatever conference. And that is, they like, women wants this. They are looking for a relief, and they're very open to trying pretty much anything, and cannabis is part of that.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, can I ask you off the wall question about psychedelics? Do you know any? Because I think there's a startup. There is a startup in Toronto working on a psychedelic, something, an older form of a psychedelic for menopause application, like a microdosing situation. Do you know anything about this? Are you interested in it? Do you hear anything? Like, do you think there's space for this?
I think there's a huge space for it. I think microdosing psychedelics will change our lives. I think it's fascinating. And I think, again, when you talk about experience with mushrooms, we or maybe I should talk about myself, have experience with mushrooms. And
I had an experience or two.
it was fantastic, but it was definitely different than something I would take on a Tuesday. So for me, it was definitely something hard to even accept, but the microdosing, you know, I think in general, they say in every experience with mushroom, you take 1 to 3 grams. And microdosing is 0.05.
Okay.
That is, I mean, it's not the same experience and you really don't feel much, but I think it could help, you know, many, many medical conditions, and hopefully menopause will be one of them.
Well, for sure.
Anything we can get, I think is, let's do this.
Yeah. I mean, any sort of plant-based, whether it's psilocybin or cannabis, I think any sort of plant-based solutions for these very common symptoms that we all experience in perimenopause and menopause should be considered. I think they're far superior than any pharmaceutical we could be prescribed, or even some of the over-the-counter medications that claim to be, you know, botanicals based that really are not. You know, I really am excited about plants becoming more of a solution for all of our health concerns, right? Beyond perimenopause and menopause, just how we start to address our health.
One day I hope to actually see collaboration and combination, right? If you take a company that has been doing medical plants forever, and then you take us as cannabis, and now I take psychedelic mushrooms, and being able to microdose a combination, that will be the winning recipe is, you know, oh, I got a valerian root with some ashwagandha, with some cannabis and some mushrooms. Like,
oh, that sounds
amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's just like I was starting to say, it's just for me, all my symptoms, it's just a roller coaster. I just never know. I'd had hot pot flashes a couple of weeks ago, and then now I'm having some trouble sleeping. No anxiety, but I think it'll come back. So it's such a flexible solution, right? Like you can even now you can tweak it a little bit, but it seems like in the future, you're going to be able to tweak it a lot. There's going to be like concierges, right? Who are able to guide you in all this. Maybe you will be one, Lila. Maybe you'll be the...
I love that.
You're the group of the menopause cannabis psychedelic.
Like a good future.
Yeah, looks good. Well, listen, I can't thank you enough. Is there anything else you'd like to say that I haven't asked you? I'm sure I'm going to want to talk to you about this again, because it's a developing, you know, in another dog years, another year, we can talk about it again.
Yeah. So often when you do these cannabis talks, do you get women ask you any questions that we should answer, or
it's not talk. It's when I write about it on social media, or I write about it in my newsletter, I always get people who leave, like just not that many, but I always, it's notable. Mm-hmm. And I feel like either it's like sort of maybe some square Susans from like high school, you know, that are just like, oh, or there's something triggering about it. There's something, or it's just still illegal to them. So I don't know what, I can't get at what the exact problem is, but I do know one time when I wrote about Hello Again on Instagram, a woman said, oh, I wouldn't want to put anything. It was just funny because she said, I wouldn't want to put anything like that up.
Whatever. We got that a lot. That's why we went the capsule route.
I don't think people realize it's not that much different, really. Like, well, it is, but you know what I mean? It's not like, obviously it is. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, it's,
you know what I mean? But the gift suppositories are a way of administering drugs, right? Like, right. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's different, obviously.
Yeah. But I mean, it still is effective. So.
Right. But you did get that. People weren't into the suppository route.
No, I mean, it's, cannabis already has its own limitation of how to reach, you know, different people. And now you add the fact that it is a suppository, it's going to be harder for you to not convince, but encourage people to use it, because you have to go through so many.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess for some of those symptoms, those localized vagina symptoms, right, that so many people have, that would be an effective way to address
that. Yeah. We have many women buying suppositories now in their then they're 25 because once a month their pains are just so annoying that they use suppositories. This is, it's not just for menopause. This is a great way to relieve a lot of the symptoms that women go through throughout the years. So,
yeah. Well, is it ever fun to talk to women about this? Because I feel like I've only ever talked to dudes and there's no, you know, it's nice to not have anything mansplained.
I love talking to people about this, in part because it is, for some people, it still has such a stigma. And maybe that's why you see kind of that social media mini exodus every now and then when you talk about it. I think it's just important to remind people it is a plant. Mm-hmm. And it has a long history of treating humans. Like, it's not, we're not experimenting. This people have done it for thousands of years. And if anything, now you're getting a far superior product that's tested and regulated and safe to use. And so I would say just to educate yourself about it, to find a dispensary that you trust, and to ask questions. I think that's what's important.
Where can people find more about you guys?
Well, our website is revelrycannabis.com. We're also on Instagram as revelrycan. And then Lilac is on Instagram as well. She's got, you need to have her back, Anne-Marie, because she's got an incredible story too that I think you'd love to hear.
Come on. Yeah. I didn't get into it. I just had so many questions about cannabis. How long's your story? Is it? I don't want you to rush it.
Oh yeah, don't rush it. It's a good story.
Talk about it next time. You're coming back. I know that I didn't want to talk to you because you're so learned in this sphere. And as we go, I think you'll be like a guide for hot flashing. So
you would love it.
She can be your person. And then Anne-Marie, I just want to audition to be kind of like the color commentary or like the MC in the background. When you say something, I'm like, yeah, Anne-Marie. Yeah.
Just meet my ridiculousness. You mean like just my general?
No, I love it. I love what you're doing for women. Yes. I think it's so important for us to talk about perimenopause, menopause, and then all the things that come along with this life stage, right? Like in the United States, the average woman hits menopause at 51, right? But you know, and your listeners know that there's a lot going on in the 10 years before it and in the years after. And I think the more we can talk to each other, not just about like the physical effects of perimenopause and menopause, but kind of what's just what happens psychologically during that phase and how we feel challenged. I mean, one of the reasons we decided to call it Revelry is because we felt like menopause shouldn't be a distraction from the life that you've built. It should be a celebration of all you've accomplished, all that's yet to come. And so Revelry seemed like the perfect name.
It's beautiful.
So, yeah. Yeah. So that's what we wanted for women. That's what we want for ourselves, whether you've been a caretaker, whether you've built a career, whether you're exploring a second career. We want women to feel empowered to do that and know that they've got a brand that's there to support them in that.
And I think this is why we went for a tone that is very open and honest and not frou-frou and flowers. Like we're women and we don't need, you know, let's just talk it real, like girlfriends talk to each other instead of what some guy thinks that we want to hear. And this is why I love what you do, very real and honest. And I love that.
Well, it's a huge transition. I think the reason I got into it is I just felt that the actual transition, which I think is almost like the hero's journey that you see in movies and books and films, is this thing where we're challenged and we have dark nights of the soul and then we rise and we come through a fire. Like I do think that that's part of it. It's happened to me. And I think if you don't acknowledge that part of it, I think it's important to acknowledge it. And I think some plants can help.
Well said. You know,
I'm objective about most things, but I think there's room for this. I think, you know, there's like a toolbox to get through this, the challenges that we have from it. I'm not a big fan of blaming everything on perimenopause or menopause, but I think, you know, if you just have, just like those, you know, if you have anxiety or depression, you have like, you know, you have your go-to things that will help you that when things, you're in the thick of it, you've already figured that out. So I really think it's great what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think it's great what you're doing. So thanks for having us on.
As we mentioned during the podcast, Revelry is just one of two cannabis brands that we know of specifically devoted to the perimenopause transition. The other one we mentioned during the interview, the one with the suppositories, is a company called Hello Again in California. And I hope to speak to those women soon, two female co-founders. Now, I listened back to this interview and I wanted to die because I was so excited to be talking about this that I interrupted Steph and Lilac and I talked way too much. For a journalist, but maybe not for a podcast. I don't know. I've been listening to Joe Rogan lately as sort of like to figure out what he's doing. And he talks a lot. In fact, he just talked about how his parents used to tell him that he talked a lot. And now he's found the perfect place to talk a lot. And, you know, maybe once upon a time, someone's parents said that to me and a teacher or two. So maybe I found the perfect place for it. Anyway. Either way, I'm going to be having these ladies back to talk. I'm going to get Lilac's story. And this is the very definition of a developing story. So I'm going to stay on it. And not very many people are covering it in this way. So that's why I think cannabis and psychedelics is one really underserved market and one that could really help us. And so I'm going to keep my eye on it. In the meantime, if you're lucky enough to be in Arizona, Revelry is available at select dispensaries throughout the state and at Lilac's Giving Tree Dispensary in Phoenix. Until next time.
Flush Inc. was created and is hosted by Anne-Marie McQueen, produced and edited by Sonia Mack. The information contained in this podcast is intended for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem, i.e. menopause or anything else, or any health care questions, please promptly see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Anne-Marie McQueen and any producers or editors, disclaim any responsibility from any possible adverse effects from the use of any information contained herein. Opinions of guests on this podcast are their own, and the podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about a guest's qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Hot Flush Inc. Media.